If you weren't here in the beginning, it is a very good morning. It's great to see you. My name is Bobby. I'm the pastor here. And so welcome to church. Welcome to Goleta Valley Church. We are currently in a series right now called We Are. And so we are taking the three ideas that we are simple, relevant, and historical. And so you see the signs over here that 2 weeks ago we started with simple. We are simple in the solution that we offer. And then last week, we are relevant. We are relevant to the needs of our city. And then this week, we end this series with we are historical. We are connected to history by faith. And so that's who we are as a church. So this is a topical series. If you, again, weren't here in the beginning, next week we're going to be going chapter by chapter, verse by verse, through the book of Acts. Super excited about that. I love the book of Acts. And so it's an invitation, the book of Acts is. It's an invitation to be invited to the great and glorious work of God. And so we see by example how he's going to do this through us, to us, and through us in the book of Acts. So we look to their example to see what God could be doing through us today. And by the hopes of, just like in Acts, by the time we get to Acts chapter 2, we hope to be about 3,000 large. Just kidding. You never know. You never know. For those of you who know the story, you get that joke. If not, you'll have to keep coming until you hear it. So this week, we are connected by history. And so if you would direct your attention to the screen for a short video as we kind of see this history play itself out. How cool was that? When we were watching it, when somebody said, "Wow, the whole world is purple." And I said, "Not enough of it. Not enough of it. We still have some work to do." But what I want to do is pick up from this idea that we are, so first of all, we are connected by faith to Jesus, who has called us into a global and diverse movement that is made up of all cultures, tribes, and tongues called the church. So let me say that again. We are connected, so we are historical, so we're connected by faith to history. What we are connected to is to Jesus, who has called us into a global and diverse movement that is made up of all cultures, tribes, tongues, which is called the church. Now, where I want to pick it up, and we will actually go through a little bit farther than this, go back a little farther than this when we go into Acts, but I didn't want to give that away. So I wanted to start in 1730 with the Great Awakening. So, and that you saw on there when all the boats kind of came across the ocean and Christianity began to spread, we pick up in 1730 a Great Awakening where a Protestant revival in the U.S. led to a church planting movement that began to spread across the Western United States. In July 4th, 1776, the 13 colonies that gained their independence was largely populated by Protestants due to the Protestant settlers seeking religious freedom from the Church of England. 10 years after the 13 colonies established independence, in 1786, so now think about timeline. I'm saying all this to think about the timeline. So America gains its independence in 1776. 10 years later, Spain founds the mission right here in Santa Barbara. Like, consider that, how long ago that was. In 1833 to 1846, California Mission Headquarters moves to Santa Barbara. So now this Santa Barbara becomes the hub of all missions, it's, the Catholic missions that were going across. It's where we begin to establish the Royal Road and El Camino Real. And then in 1850, California becomes the 31st state in the United States. In 1850. And then in 1861 to 1865 was the American Civil War. Okay, so now everybody kind of mind wrapped around where we're at in history. 8 years after the Civil War, 8 years, 23 years after California became a state, and just under 100 years before America claimed its independence, on February 8th, 1873, 13 people met on the Hill Ranch in the Loveling farming community of Goleta, California, to form this church. Okay? On February 8th, 1873, 13 people met on the Hill Ranch, the lovely farming valley, in the lovely farming valley of Goleta, California. Said it better the first time. To form this church. Goleta Valley Church is the oldest church in our city. Originally Oakdale Baptist Church, the first building was built in 1884, and then in 1816, they changed the name to Goleta Valley Church, or Goleta Baptist Church, Goleta Valley Baptist Church. In 1835, they joined the Association of Regular Baptists. No, 1835. 1816. Yes, 1935. Thank you. That's why you're my wife. Okay, yeah. In 1916, they changed the name to Goleta Baptist Church. And then in 1935, they joined the Association of Regular Baptists, which is the only reason why I put that in there is because what a great name. So if you're not part of the regular Baptists, what are you? Like, man, I read that and just started laughing. I'm like, man, that's a smart name right there. Be a part of us. We're regular. 1972, just under 100 years after the church started meeting, they sold the original site of the church that was built in the 1800s to the Goleta Girls Club. And in 1973, a groundbreaking ceremony on 3 acres at Stowe Canyon and Fairview Avenue began. And here's some pictures. That's this corner in the fellowship hall right where we're standing. As you can see, the sign there says Future Site Goleta Baptist Church. Goleta Baptist Church. And then they have a picture of the groundbreaking ceremony. We have the pastor and his wife and a few of the members of the church digging the first, breaking the ground of the fellowship hall just right over here. And so on December 23rd, 1973, the first service was held, and whose picture is right here, held by Pastor Harry Hobby in our present fellowship hall. So that's what building was built first. And then faithfully after that, for the next 7 years, Pastor Hobby went to the city and renewed the building permit. But then in 1980, the city threatened to not renew the building permit for this sanctuary. So then construction began. The interesting thing about that story, right before that in 1979, they became debt-free once again by paying off the fellowship hall and started building right immediately into 1980 and started building this. And then June 24th, 1984, the first service was held right here in our current sanctuary. Pastor Harry Hobby served 19 years and retired in 1987. And then after him, we have Pastor Wayne Nanoshita. Did I say that right? And then after that, I believe was Pastor Ivan. And he retired just last year in 2016. Close enough. In 2014, after fasting and praying, I got a vision. So I was living in Reno, Nevada. 2014, I got a vision to come back to the Central Coast to establish a church planting church. And on July 3rd, 2014, exactly 2 years before I preached my first sermon here, I wrote a vision down for church planting on the Central Coast. And this is copied and pasted from my Evernote. So this is from July 3rd, 2014. Establish a plant every 2 to 3 years, focusing on 3 types of genres. Each plant will focus on the next biggest city, and there's some towns listed there. But what's interesting to me is example, San Luis Obispo to Santa Barbara. The coastal towns, Santa Cruz, San Luis Obispo, and then Santa Barbara. 2 years before I preached my first sermon here, that town God put on my heart. And then on July 3rd, 2016, feeling honored and humbled, I became a part of the history here, the longstanding history here at Goleta Valley Church as I preached my first sermon as the pastor here, Jesus is freedom. Jesus is freedom. We are historical. We have a longstanding history, and I believe that we're not done, amen? Amen. We are in a series, as I mentioned before, called We Are. We are historical, finding and living into our identity as a church. And so this is directly from our website, so this is a little repetitive, but we've started every one of these with this. So this is, if you go to our website, it says About Us, and you click on it. It says this: we've been around a while. That said, we are excited about a new season for us. July 2016, we hired me as our new senior pastor with the intent of revitalizing our church. This type of season brings change, but whether you are visiting for the first time or haven't been in a while, there are a few things that you need to know that will remain the same, and here they are. Number one, simple. We proclaim a simple message. Jesus Christ is the hope of our world. Though this news has been around for 2,000 years, we believe it's just as relevant today as it was then. And then relevant. We believe the truths of the Bible connect humanity back to its creator. It also teaches that if we have peace with God, it begins to affect all other areas of life, including the way we treat others. Therefore, every sermon will have some relevance to what we believe and or how we live. And the last thing is this, historical. Our church has been serving Goleta and Santa Barbara County for over 140 years. But the Church Universal was established over 2,000 years ago, as we saw in that video. We believe that our local expression of a church is a small part of a global and diverse family of faith that is made up of all cultures, tribes, and tongues. Therefore, we are connected by faith to history, relevant to the needs of our city, and simple in the solution we offer. We are connected by faith to history, relevant to the needs of our city, and simple in the solution we offer. If you would, please turn to Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 19. If you're using the Bibles around the room, that is on page 957 in the Pew Bibles. Those are the black hardback Bibles that are right in front of you. Page 977 in the Bibles around the room. Once you're there, something that we do almost every single time we open up the Word is we stand. So if you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Please pray with me. Father, would you open this word to our hearts? Would you speak and help us to see and to live into who we are as a church? In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. It's a rainy day. You guys look kind of tired. Do we need to do some jumping jacks, or I need you to be with me on this one? So, all right, we're going to keep it kind of short today because we have communion, and I want to be able to take some time and enjoy communion as a family. And so first thing we see is, what does it mean to be historical? So the definition is this: the whole series of past events connected with someone or something. So the whole series of past events, so speaking into history, thinking of the past events, connected with someone or something. And so those are the questions that I'm going to be asking. But first, I want to say this. We are connected by, what are the means by which we are connected? If you look at Ephesians 2:8, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And so we see that faith is the means by which we are connected. And we are connected by faith to, number one, Jesus. We are connected by faith to Jesus. Look at verse 20. That Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And then verse 22. In him you so also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. We understand that as a church, we are connected to this man who lived 2,000 years ago. But what's crazy about the fact that he lived 2,000 years ago is that it was definitely big news that he was there. But we see all throughout biblical history from Genesis on that there is a message that someone is coming. That someone is coming. This guy, he's going to come. And he's going to what? He's going to save us and he's going to be our king. And then it gets into specifics on how he's going to save us. And then Jesus comes, and 2,000 years ago, he lives the life we couldn't live, and then dies the death we deserved on the cross for our sins. It's interesting that historically, we enter into this story Because we, as we've talked about before, entered into the death of Christ. We entered into the death of Christ. So let me say it this way. If you are not sure that you are a believer in Jesus, if you are not sure that you are going to heaven, if you are not sure that you are a part of what it means to be in this great adventure in serving God, the means by which he provides a sure way is Jesus Christ on the cross through an extension of faith, which means this. This is very simple. This looks like a long way down, and I don't know if there's anything under my feet. Pretend. Just go with me. Use your imagination. And then we step. That is called the step of faith. Now, in regards to what? Do you actually believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, not just generally, but for you? So the sins that you confessed earlier, or that one sin, look, let's just be honest. That one thing, that one relationship, that whatever it is for you, that thing that you can't seem to give up no matter what, no matter how hard you try. Did Jesus die for that? If the answer is yes, then you just extended faith into something that you can't see. That is by the very definition, extending faith into something that you can't actually see, hold, or touch. And we enter into history, enter into the death of Jesus Christ. And then we also enter into history. Historically, Jesus rose from the dead. So we know that Jesus lived historically. We know that he died on the cross for our sins. And we know that historically, the claims are, is that he rose again from the dead. And we enter into history because we rose again with him. Because we rose again with him. Like, how crazy is that to think about the fact that we are 2,000 years later, and somehow by this idea of faith, this conduit, if you will, of faith, that we say, I believe. Now, just go with me for a second. This is crazy. The moment we say, I believe in Jesus, it's like our old self, our sinful self, entered 2,000 years ago to the death of Jesus Christ and died with him. And died with him. And then somehow, 2,000 years ago, 3 days later, we rose with him. And so we are connected by faith to Jesus. Look at Romans chapter 6, one of my favorite scriptures. This has been a go-to for me. It says, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism. Now, what that word means there is immersed. That we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism. We were immersed into his death. Now, when we think about baptism, it's a representation of this reality. That it's something that we outwardly proclaim, something that inwardly has already taken place. That's why we baptize outwardly, because it's a representation of this reality. That we were therefore with him, we were immersed into his death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. You see, we are historical because we are connected historically to the gospel of Jesus Christ in his life, death, and resurrection. Because of our history in Christ, we are connected to his life. We have a new identity, a new life, and a new purpose. Then just consider that for a second. We have a new purpose and a new identity. Like, you're brand new. And there's so many things to be said about this, but let's just very simply think about who you are in Christ. You are righteous, a declared righteousness that is not yours. Jesus' righteousness is declared over you. You are holy. A holiness that doesn't exist in you in and of itself. But because you are in Christ historically, you are now holy. You're called holy. You are loved. You are loved. Just as you are right now, you are loved. Like, consider that for a second. Somebody's dialing out. You are loved. All this because you were connected historically through faith to Jesus Christ. All right. So one, we see that the definition of historical is that the whole series of past events connected with someone or something. So not only do we have a new identity, we have a new life, we also have a new purpose. And that purpose is that thing that we are connected to. One, Jesus. Number two, the church. We are connected by faith to a global and diverse family called the church. Look at verse 19. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints. So you enter into a history and stand on the shoulders of incredible men and women of faith. And just like the reason why I talked about the history of this church, I'm under no illusion that I'm just gonna come and just change everything and make it awesome. I'm just not. But what I do have is this, is I have I walk humbly knowing that I'm here on the shoulders of other great men before me that have built this church. We have a history and we're connected into that history. We're connected to the church and we enter into, and all of us stand on the shoulders of incredible men and women of faith. Think about the first time you heard the gospel. Just think about it. If you can't remember that, think about when you were baptized. Like, just think about the time when you went into the water and then came back out. I know for my mom, when I baptized my mom, it was, I teased her. I'm like, we need to make sure this takes. So I held her down for a little bit longer than normally. And it was funny when I went down with her in the water, you know, but and by the death of Jesus, and then I watched her start laughing under the water. So I thought I should probably bring her up because, you know. I remember baptizing my son, Silas. We were at the Truckee River. And there we were, surrounded by hundreds of people singing praise songs, where that day I think there was 70-some-odd people that got baptized. And then I saved the best for last, because I know he was considering it. So he came out, and I asked him a few questions by which he got all of them wrong on purpose because he's a pastor's kid. But then he answered the questions right, and then I baptized him. And the crazy thing is that people celebrated, right? People freaked out, especially when my son got baptized. I was crying. Everyone was crying. It was like one of those momentous moments. But see, that's just one reality. There's a reality behind it that all of heaven rejoices when someone comes to faith. That's just a small example of the angels breaking out with God himself rejoicing over, going, look, he made it. He proclaimed faith. And they have a party. They throw a party. Now think about that. Think about that for you. In that moment when you first connected, someone had to tell you. Someone had to share the gospel with you, right? And someone before them had to share the gospel with them. And then someone before them had to share the gospel with them. And the next thing you know, you can work yourself all the way back to what we're going to start with in the next few weeks as we get into the book of Acts, where Peter stands up with tongues of fire. And they're speaking in different languages that they don't even understand. But everyone around is hearing the praise of God. And he stands up amongst them and preaches the gospel. So for those who believe and be baptized, you will be what? Saved. And 3,000 people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And from there, and someone told somebody else, maybe it was the eunuch, where Philip goes and he talks to a eunuch who's reading Isaiah and he explains the gospel to him. And he says, what? What keeps me from being baptized? Look, there's a pool of water over there. And he gets baptized. And maybe it was from there where it spread, and it spread as we saw the spread of Christianity begin to go into all nations. Someone had to tell someone, had to tell someone, who told you, and you are here this morning. Saved and connected to Jesus Christ through a history. So let's not fool ourselves to think that we are anything special, but simply standing on the shoulders of great saints before us who have shared the gospel. And that causes humility, but it also causes something else. It causes an excitement. Why? Because we're invited to do the same. That we get to place as a church and as a people, we get to place ourselves within that history so that decade from now, after a decade from now, after a century from now, someone will read some sort of history until Jesus comes back for a second coming. We'll say, and then in 2017, Pastor Bobby and da-da-da-da-da, or Deacon Dana, or whatever the case may be, and we'll be, our names will be in a history, and someone will believe in Jesus, and that person will tell somebody else. What it is, church, is an invitation to be a part of something greater than yourself. That's the church. A diverse and global movement. It's so silly to think of the church as an institution when it's alive, vibrant, and life-changing. And we see that the movement, this global movement of the church, has literally flipped the world upside down. And we can go through example after example. How? Orphanages, created by a Christian worldview. Universities, created by a Christian worldview. Many of the sciences, created by a Christian worldview. And we can begin to see this movement of not only just proclamation of the gospel, but met with the hands of service. So it begs the question, what's our part? What's your part? What's your part individually, and then what's our part as a church? We are no longer strangers or aliens, but we are fellow citizens with the saints. We've entered into a history, and we stand on the shoulders of incredible men and women of faith. And then we are built on the foundation. Verse 20, let me read this again. It says, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. What it means to be a historical church is to have this as our authority. The apostles and the prophets, right here, that in the Old Testament points to Jesus, so there's arrows pointing to, and then we see the gospels pointing at, and then we see the epistles on pointing back to the cross of Jesus Christ, and then we see future letters like Daniel and Revelation pointing to another coming of Jesus Christ, but it's all about Jesus, and the very foundation when it says that we're built on the apostles and the prophets is this right here. That this is our authority, to be a historical disciple and a historical church. This is the center of all we do. That's why we stand when we read it. This is our authority. This is it. This is here. It's over me. So if I contradict this, I shouldn't be up here. And if I ever do, I'm not worried because Fred will tell me. Right, Fred? Okay, if Fred doesn't, Dana will. So, but the point is that all of, like, this is our authority as a church over me. And so we look to the Bible for what? For who I am, for our identity, for what I believe. And then how do I live based on what I believe? And it establishes our doctrine and our teachings. So it begins to answer the big question, like, who is God? Well, he's a triune God. Well, what does that mean? That he's one God in three persons. He's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three persons in one God. Separate? No. Distinct. Well, what does that mean for me? Well, it means that you have a loving Father that you were brought to by incredible big brother Jesus who paved the way for salvation, and that now living in you is the third member of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, who leads and guides you and directs you into life and the very thing that we're talking about here. That's why we study the Trinity. Justification by faith. Well, Because there's something in us that says, I have to get this done. I have to hold on to this. And so we have this great justification. We have this great doctrine, this great teaching. The word doctrine means teaching, of justification by faith. That as soon as I took that step of faith into the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that something happened in me. I died with Christ. I rose with Christ. My sins were taken away, and his righteousness was applied to my account. Therefore, I can know for sure that my relationship with God is right and true. Justification. And then it gets into sanctification and glorification and a bunch of acations. All these different teachings, and they begin to establish this. Why? Because we are part of the history of truth proclaimed in the scriptures. So we stand on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets to establish our history, to establish a history of truth. And then verses 21 and 22, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, and in him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. We have a divine invitation to enter into a global diverse movement that has literally turned the world upside down. And so our last point is this, that we are connected by faith to Jesus. We are connected by faith to the church. But then that begs the question, why? So that we can connect others to Jesus, that will then be connected to the church, so that they can connect others to Jesus, so that they can be connected to the church, so that they can be connect others to Jesus. You guys getting my point? It's disciples making disciples, making disciples, making disciples. And the only question is, where do you start? Because the question at this point shouldn't be if you start, it should be where. Who? You never know what God's going to do, church. Right? You just never know. The guy who discipled me was a violent professional baseball player. The guy was brutal, carried a bat around in his car, had guns. He's just an angry, mad man. That's how he would describe himself anyway. But then he's in 7-Eleven in Southern California, and a hippie walks in, his words. A long-haired hippie guy walks in and says, "Hey, bro," and he hands him a track. And on that track was the story of the gospel. And he just says, "Hey, man, this is what this says." And he reads through the track together with this violent baseball guy named Mike. He's like, "Well, do you want to pray to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" He's like, "Yeah, I do." And he did. And all of a sudden, from that chance encounter from some hippie to some baseball player that would have never talked to this guy in any other way, shape, or form, he then gets saved and then disciples me. And we go plant a church together in Las Vegas in the early 90s. And then people start to get saved, and then they begin to get sent out. And people start to get sanctified, and then they begin to get sent out. And all the way to this moment here, from a small little piece of paper in a 7-Eleven, it begins to spread. Can you imagine the guy that led Billy Graham to Jesus? I want to be that. I don't need to be Billy Graham. I want to lead a guy like Billy Graham to Jesus and disciple him. Amen? And that is how we are connected. So it's not a matter of should I or if I, it's where do I start? One, you start by realizing that we are a historical church and you are a historical disciple, that you are connected by faith to Jesus, that you are connected by faith to the church so that we can connect others to Jesus. And so now with this, here's some real basic stuff. So we are connected to Jesus and to each other as a church to connect others to Jesus and the church. And so here's some questions for you. These will be on our Facebook page, so make sure you get a hold of that or you'll like that and you'll see it. All of our follow-up for our sermons is on there. So one, we are historical. What does it mean to be a historical disciple? Here's the question, you. So again, it's you, others, and the church. What doctrine or scripture confirms who and what you are called to do and how you are called to do it. What doctrine or scripture confirms who and what you are called to do and how you are called to do it? And that, again, begins to anchor us into this idea of history. So then how, as a historical disciple, do you treat others? This next section. What doctrine or scripture are you teaching to disciple others into the who, what, and how of discipleship? These questions are just meant for intentionality, church. Just so you're intentional. You start thinking about, like, what am I actually teaching? Am I teaching anybody? Huh, you're not? Okay, let's start there. Let's find someone to teach. What are you going to teach? Find a scripture and start teaching. Last one, we are historical disciples in regards to the church. Who can you learn from history? What can you learn from church history about your calling? And how does your calling and discipleship of others tie into what the church has been doing for 2,000 years? Those are just some good questions for you. Let's go ahead and leave those up for a second. If I could have the band come up and the deacons come forward and prepare for communion.